roadside cotton in the ditch. We all picked the cotton, but we never got rich. Daddy was a veteran, a Southern Democrat. They ought to get a rich man to vote like that. Sing it. Song, song of the South. Sweet potato pie and I shut my mouth.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for listening on this Friday morning. 251-343-0106. If you want to respond to anything we are talking about, that was a good interview with Governor Bentley. Jeff, good lineup all morning, too. Thank you for that, Matt. And Sean was saying, I guess Governor Bentley was on point with something there. But anyway, enough of that. Joining us now, it's time for our returning champion. We do it this time every week on this program, about this time every week. Sometimes we had to adjust, but I think we're back on a relatively normal schedule. State Senator Chris Elliott from Daphne. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Sorry, I might ruin your lineup, but I'm happy to be with you nonetheless.
You're still the returning champion on this show and in our hearts, Senator. Let's kick it off here. Steal this question from my colleague Dale Jackson. Has been asking your colleagues this all weekend. Y'all been celebrating spring break up at Jabbo Wagner's lake house up in Smith Lake, doing some wake surfing.
I have not. I'm not much of a wake surfer myself. I will say this. I've been trying to put in a boat lift down on the water and aggravated at the wakes when they go by. I'll tell you that. I've been working this week trying to get a lot of things done that we haven't gotten done over the last couple months because we've been in Montgomery, and I've gotten most of it done. Now it's time to get back to work next week.
Yeah, well, and you talk to a lot of your colleagues. It's like this is your week off, right? And you got to go back. Your real life, right, comes calling, and you got to get that squared away. But soon it'll be over. What, 7 legislative days remaining, or something?
That's correct. I anticipate us being in session for 2 more weeks. Really probably one day, that 7th day, held back in reserve unless in case we need to come back into session to deal with a governor's executive amendment or a veto or something like that. I don't expect that we'll use that day, but it's always good practice to hold one in reserve. So we'll have two legislative day weeks here coming up, and then probably wrap it up.
Senator, it looks to me, there was some momentum there, and it really looked like a lot of bills being filed, and the state house was a busy, busy place. I think this sort of spring break is kind of just kind of the reality check. Like, look, we need to get these budgets done, and then we need to get back to the farm and start campaigning and getting ready for the election cycle.
I think you're right. I mean, we've been talking about setting agendas for next week for committee with the realization that those bills that need to get out of committee have got to get out of committee next week in order to have a chance to make it in the other chamber and that's really the realization. The light is at the end of the tunnel and the math being done in reverse to figure out what's got to happen between now and then. So you're seeing some priority assigned to bills that are still in the hopper, if you will, waiting for their turn either in committee or on the floor, and it'll be crunch time for the next couple of weeks, and those priority bills that haven't made it through yet will move through and likely go through quickly, and then the others will not, and that seems to be the case every legislative session. It's a good way to really enforce that limited government thing we talk about in Alabama all the time. If we just limit the amount of time that we have to pass laws, then there won't be as many passed. That's not always a bad thing.
Let me ask you something here, and this isn't meant to be a gotcha or anything, but 4 years, your first quadrennium. Looking back with this session about to wrap up, what would you say is a signature accomplishment from your standpoint?
I'm pretty proud of a couple pieces of legislation. Obviously, the GOMESA legislation that you and I've talked about a lot that protects millions and millions of dollars that comes to coastal Alabama every year now is statutorily required to come to Mobile and Baldwin County. It can't be spent anywhere else in the state. That's going to pay huge dividends. You know, we received $42 million in funding last year from GOMESA, and it was just very important to me to convince my colleagues. place that needed to stay here in coastal Alabama. And I'm thrilled, and that's something that will live on well beyond me, and that our children and grandchildren will see benefits from. You know, the other thing is changing the foundation program. Not an easy lift for sure, but making sure that that fast growing school districts get money up front for the students that we know are going to be there. Traditionally, those were funded in arrears, and it resulted in 6,500 students in Alabama across the state not receiving any state or federal funds for the first year they were there. And it happened in fast growing school districts over and over again, which meant our schools were chronically underfunded. Just because of a math calculation, and that was a big bill, a complicated bill, but one that means millions and millions of dollars more for Baldwin County, and that's a big deal. And then achievements when it comes to transportation, you know, seeing Baldwin County really kind of behind in transportation dollars to receiving more state transportation dollars, the state funding, than any other county in the state, that's a big deal, that's a big win, and one that I hope to continue to be able to keep up. Those have been my stated goals and ones that we've been able to do. And then lastly, you know, of course, keeping the budget balanced and making sure that with this federal largesse, we use it for and only for one-time expenditures, and that we don't become addicted to federal money, something nobody wants to see happen. So those are big accomplishments and ones I'm particularly proud of.
Well, I'm gonna say you left out one big one here, Senator, and mostly because the opponents blame talk radio. But the vaccine mandate regulation or prohibition, where we offered the exemptions for those that were you know that were religious and medical exemptions, and defined that through state code, kind of not really defying federal statute, but at least giving some, not allowing it to be so broadly interpreted, and just overcoming that hurdle there, because it's special session, you had to overcome the call, you had the business community kind of working against you, and you were a guy, you and a Senator Orr were kind of spearheading that effort there to get that done.
You're correct, and forgive me, that's something I'd almost blocked out of my mind because it was so unpleasant to do it, because you're right, it was very much an us against the world. You had folks on every side against it, and it was a very difficult lift, and a very difficult lift when you start thinking about the requirements of a special session to get that done. But, you know, that's something I always tell folks that are new to the legislature and certainly new to politics. You know, get your politics straight, get your principles straight before you find yourself in Montgomery, before you're having to make those decisions. Find out what's important for you and what you stand for before you get there, because once you get there, you're going to be challenged. You're going to be challenged hard, and you need to be willing and able to fight for things that are seemingly unpopular but are the right things to do. And the expansion of vaccine exemptions was the right thing to do, and something that I'm glad we were able to get done. It had significant opposition. It was a novel approach, and frankly, some that a lot of folks still don't like or understand. But it's been incredibly successful. Nobody in Alabama that claimed one of those exemptions has had to go get the vaccine, and the appeals that have occurred, less than 50 of them, have all been decided in favor of the employer, or excuse me, the employee, the person who's being told to get the vaccine, and they were able to not. And I think that is, you know, when you have a success rate like that, that means your legislation worked, it achieved its goal, and it was successful, and I'm pretty darn proud of it.
Joined by State Senator Chris Elliott here on the program for his weekly visit. Senator, let's go into the, it may be taboo or not, I don't know, but let's talk about what's going on this day as far as it came up this morning on the morning show. These municipalities that seem to kind of abuse traffic laws. And look, the big one that kind of got all of these dominoes going was Brookside up near Birmingham, where they built Interstate 22 through, and Brookside just used it as a piggy bank to pull people over and just make it darn near impossible to challenge these tickets, but it became such a big part of their budget, and they kind of they abused the situation. Closer to home, people point to Somerdale in our neck of the woods, and the percentage of its municipal spending that there's, you know, the state is looking to put some kind of parameters on just how much a city can use that as a mechanism for funding. And you get pushbacks from some of the municipalities. Kind of walk us through that and where you are on that issue these days.
I'll tell you, I'm a huge supporter of law enforcement and what they do and how they keep us safe, and especially in the environment, political environment we find ourselves in today. Our law enforcement have a tough time sometimes. But these outside, these actors, these individual small actors like Brookside, for instance, give the rest of folks that are trying to do a good job a very bad name. And that is, I think, something that is universally agreed upon. So what a number of us tried to do was look and see what's leading this, what's causing this, how did we end up here in a Brookside-type situation, and with money and the desire to acquire revenue through exorbitant fines and fees and an exorbitant percentage of fines and fees that made up a municipal budget. I'll say, for whatever it's worth, that a lot of that came to jurisdictions, and not just the jurisdiction that is the corporate limits. That's another piece of legislation we can talk about that was successful. But we found one of those closer to home, and it was kind of shocking to me to see that. But I think you've probably got a dozen or so, or even less, municipalities out of 462 in the state of Alabama that fall into this category. So the theory was, okay, if you've got a municipality that is facing more than 10% of its municipal revenue, and budgeting for more than 10% of its municipal revenue, and also fines, that's probably unhealthy. That means there's probably an unhealthy profit incentive, right? A policing for profit incentive going on. Nobody's out there defunding the police, but in the outliers where there's something that's just amiss, then maybe we need to look at that and see if we can try to. We don't see repeats of Brookside and other parts of the state. Unfortunately, one of those that when you started doing the numbers, and I'll give Landgap credit for some really good reporting on this, and gave Time credit for really good reporting, and they should take that as high praise, because I've not always seen eye to eye with
them. No, you aren't.
But they've done good work here, and I'll just say, you know, their reporting shows Summerdale in particular somewhere between over the years 22% and 32% of their total municipal budget was coming from them writing traffic tickets. And you compare that to other municipalities in Baldwin County, and it's double or triple or 15 times as much as it would be in other counties. You take Baymanette at 7.8%, Foley at less than 1%, Robertsdale at 5.8%, Daffy at 1.2%, Fairhope at 0.6%. And then even with the tourist towns of Orange Beach and Gulf Shores, 1.32% in Orange Beach and 1% or less than 1% in Gulf Shores, that shows a significant outlier. When you're a similar-sized city and you're writing tickets that are 20, 30 times as much as somebody else as a percentage of budget, that's probably something we need to look at. And that's what the aim of this legislation is.
Well, is there enough time to get this done? You know, I know it's kind of hurry up offense here, but what do you think?
I expect it to be on the special order calendar on Tuesday and down to the House immediately. I expect to make it through committee probably on that Wednesday committee day in the House. And the short answer is yes. I think it will definitely be something that gets out of the chamber this year. It's a serious issue. It's a serious problem. Look, our government is set up with checks and balances, the executive, the legislative, the judicial, to balance each other. I'm a big supporter of law enforcement, but yes, there are some out there that need checks and balances. That's the job of the legislature. That's the job of the judiciary at times, that's something that we need to make sure we are upholding our constitutional responsibility to provide those checks and balances.
Well, and, real quick I guess we got a couple of minutes here before I let you go. I think this, the Auburn gambling bill has probably got long, long shots. Same with, Representative Brown's lottery bill. But, I mean, what do you think 2023 and beyond look like on gambling and gaming? Is it now, or are we getting to a make or break time that something's got to get done? I mean, it's understandable you not get it done this quadrennium because of COVID, and now you're up against kind of the last stages of it. But are we going to be talking about this still in 5 years?
I think we are going to eventually get this worked out. There is too much interest from the public in having a vote on a lottery in Alabama to not deal with it. The question is, as you and I have talked many times before, what is going to need to be tagged on to it in order to get enough votes to make it work in the legislature? I am and have been consistently a proponent on getting the cleanest bill possible on the ballot for people to vote for. And I'm going to not count out one of these two bills moving this particular session. I think it's a long shot, but I think caucus meetings on Tuesday are likely going to be focused on whether or not we're going to move one or two of these pieces of legislation and what that's going to look like. So I think there's a better chance than most people are giving it, but I would agree it's still probably a long shot for this quadrennium.
Senator, we're going to leave it there, but you're always very kind to make time for us every week, and we will do it all again next week.
Sounds good. I appreciate you having me on, and maybe I'll make it out of the Summerdale police jurisdiction. I got the cruise control set right on the speed limit.
There you go, man. You watch it there. Maybe stop and grab some barbecue or something along the way. State Senator Chris Elliott on the line there. Let's get a break in here. This is the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5.
You work a 40-hour week for a living.